Welcome to an excerpt of the CME activity, Challenging Cases from the Clinic. The treatment experienced patient, which is certified by the AGA Institute and presented by David Bernstein, MD. Dr. Bernstein is a professor of clinical medicine, Albert Einstein School of Medicine, Bronx, New York, Chief Digestive Disease Institute, Division of Gastroenterology, Hepatology, and Nutrition, North Shore University Hospital, Long Island Jewish Medical Center, Manhasset, New York. Dr. Bernstein has disclosed the following relevant financial relationships. He received grants for clinical research from Genentech, Merck & Company, and Vertex Pharmaceuticals Incorporated. He served as an advisor or consultant for Merck & Company and Vertex Pharmaceuticals Incorporated. He served as a speaker or a member of a speaker's bureau for Merck & Company and Vertex Pharmaceuticals Incorporated. Dr. Bernstein does not intend to discuss off-label uses of drugs, mechanical devices, biologics, or diagnostics approved by the FDA for use in the United States. Dr. Bernstein does not intend to discuss investigational drugs, mechanical devices, biologics, or diagnostics not approved by the FDA for use in the United States. The purpose of this activity is to address practice gaps in HCV screening, diagnosis, referral, and treatment, and help change the course of the urgent public crisis of undiagnosed and untreated chronic HCV infection. This activity is supported by Merck & Company and Vertex Pharmaceuticals. To participate in the CME activity, please go to medscape.org/features/audio and select the title.
Hello, I am David Bernstein from North Shore University Hospital and the Hofstra North Shore Long Island Jewish School of Medicine, located in Long Island, New York. Welcome to this Medscape CME certified program titled Challenging Cases from the Clinic. I am going to present the case of a hepatitis C genotype 1 partial responder. The case that I would like to present is a 53-year-old gentleman who has a past medical history of mild diabetes. He had been treated in the past with pegylated interferon and ribavirin approximately 7 years ago and describes himself being a partial responder. This is important because I'm going to come back to the discussion of a partial responder. The records which he brought with him show that a liver biopsy performed in 2004 show that this patient had grade 3, stage 2 disease, and he's referred now by his general internist for evaluation for treatment. One of the most important things about this case presentation is to determine that this patient was in fact a partial responder. In order to do that, we were able to obtain the records from his previous treatment. And you can see as depicted on this graph that when the patient was treated in the past with pegylated interferon and ribavirin, when he was initially started on therapy, his HCV RNA level was 1.1 million. When the virus was rechecked on therapy at 4 weeks, it had fallen to 500,000 international units, or a one log drop. At 12 weeks, his virus had fallen further to 35,000 international units, and when repeated 24 weeks into therapy, remained about the same at 27,000, and his therapy at that point was discontinued. This is a patient who, in fact, truly had a partial response. He was started on therapy. The virus came down by 2 logs, but never became negative. And that's important because that is what we're going to use to determine what therapies are available in the future. When the patient was further evaluated, his physical examination was normal, but with a BMI of 34, so he is overweight. Important blood tests reveal an ALT of 55, which is slightly abnormal, a platelet count of 145,000, which is slightly low, an HCV RNA of 650,000 international units. He is genotype 1, and thyroid studies were normal. In this now previous partial responder, we have to consider what therapies are available, and we have to consider what we would do and what we think about in patients who were previously experienced. Perhaps the most important thing is the likelihood of this person responding to pegylated interferon and ribavirin and protease inhibitors now. What was the previous response pattern? Was this person someone who relapsed? Was this person a partial responder? Or was this person a null responder? What are the viral factors? Is the genotype 1, 2, 3, 4? And what's the viral level? And these become important because as we talk about new triple therapies, which are combinations of pegylated interferon, ribavirin, and a protease inhibitor, they are currently only approved for the use in patients with genotype 1. So patients who had these previous patterns of response who were genotypes 2, 3, and 4 are not going to qualify for the therapies that were recently approved by the FDA. There are other host factors as well which are important. IL-28B genotyping, which is very important in predicting response to therapy in dual treatment, meaning pegylated interferon and ribavirin, may be important when we talk about the new triple therapies with pegylated interferon, ribavirin, and a protease inhibitor, but the data still needs to be analyzed and presented. Race is an important factor. Caucasians and Asians responding better to retreatment than African Americans. And the degree of fibrosis and the degree of steatosis do impact the patient's ability to respond to retreatment for their hepatitis C. So if we consider what the options would be, we then look again at likelihood of disease progression. Does the patient have mild disease, or does the patient have fibrosis or cirrhosis? And what is the likelihood that this patient, based upon their previous treatments, would be able to tolerate retreatment with pegylated interferon and ribavirin plus the addition of a protease inhibitor? And perhaps that's the most important when we begin to consider whether we're able to treat patients again after they initially had either failed therapy or were relapsed. The treatment options then currently available to the patient I presented and to partial responders in general would be either retreatment with triple therapy, a combination of telaprevir, pegylated interferon, or ribavirin, with data I will show you from the RELIGE trial, or retreatment with brosepravir, pegylated interferon, and ribavirin, with data available from the RESPOND-2 trial, which we will review, or we may be able to wait for newer treatments to become available or just observe the patient. So really, when you're having the discussion with this partial responder, the options are retreatment or waiting for newer therapies which may be available 3 to 5 years down the road. This is the study design for the RESPOND-2 trial. It's a 3-arm trial, and if you can see on the top, the first arm is the response-guided therapy. All patients were begun on pegylated interferon and ribavirin for 4 weeks, then were added brosepravir on day 29. 8 weeks into therapy, an HCV RNA level was obtained, and if the virus was undetectable, patients were treated with the triple combination therapy for a total of 32 weeks, making the complete treatment 36 weeks, and then they were followed up for 24 weeks to determine if they had a sustained virologic response. If the virus was detectable at week 8, the patients were continued on a total of triple therapy for 44 weeks, making the total duration of treatment 48 weeks with a 24-week follow-up. The second arm was, by design, 4 weeks of pegylated interferon and ribavirin, a lead-in phase, followed by 44 weeks of triple therapy with brosepravir, pegylated interferon, and ribavirin, making the total course 48 weeks with 24 weeks of follow-up. And the third arm was standard of care treatment, which was combination of pegylated interferon and ribavirin for 48 weeks. Looking at what the results would be, the previous relapsers who were treated with standard of care therapy had a 26% sustained virologic response. Those patients who were treated with the response-guided treatment had a 69% sustained virologic response, and those who were treated with triple therapy for 48 weeks, 75%. In the middle of the slide, you can see the response of the previous partial responders. Those patients who received standard of care treatment had a 7% sustained virologic response. Those treated with the response-guided therapy had a 40% sustained virologic response. And those treated with a lead-in of pegylated interferon and ribavirin plus 44 weeks of boceprevir, pegylated interferon and ribavirin, 52%. The other trial which looked at treatment of partial responders was the REALIZE trial. In this trial, there were also three arms. In the first arm, depicted here in the top, the initial treatment was triple therapy with telaprevir, pegylated interferon, and ribavirin, followed by 36 weeks of pegylated interferon and ribavirin, making total treatment 48 weeks with a 24-week follow-up to determine sustained virologic response. The second arm, or the middle arm, had a lead-in phase of pegylated interferon and ribavirin, followed by 12 weeks of triple therapy with telaprevir, pegylated interferon and ribavirin, followed by 32 weeks of pegylated interferon and ribavirin, completing the 48-week course, and then a 24-week follow-up to determine sustained virologic response. And the third arm seen on the bottom was the standard of care, pegylated interferon and ribavirin for 48 weeks, followed by 24 weeks of follow-up to determine overall sustained virologic response. This slide shows us the sustained virologic response rates in the patients who were treated in the REALIZE trial. What you can see here is an 86% sustained virologic response rate in patients who were previous relapsers, and a 58% sustained virologic response in those patients who were previous partial responders. And both of these numbers are significantly greater than the patients who were treated with standard of care therapy depicted on the bar graph to the right. The triple therapies add some side effects to the standard of care, pegylated interferon and ribavirin. This slide looks at the side effects with telaprevir and boceprevir, which were reported more frequently than just standard of care, pegylated interferon and ribavirin. So on the top, if you see the telaprevir arm, you will notice that there was significantly more rash, fatigue, pruritus, anemia, and nausea noted. And for the boceprevir arm trials, there was significantly more anemia or dysgeusia, difficulty with taste. So let's come back to our patient. After a long discussion with the patient regarding the treatment options, this patient opted for therapy with pegylated interferon, ribavirin, and boceprevir. Prior to the treatment, then, the patient needed further evaluation. The first would be a cardiac evaluation, as this is a gentleman over 50 with diabetes, thus having cardiac risk factors, so an exercise stress test was ordered. An ophthalmologic exam was also recommended, as anyone treated with interferon should have a good eye exam, especially if they're diabetic, to ensure that there are no pre-existing conditions which could predispose them to interferon-induced ophthalmologic adverse events. And the third recommendation was to perform a liver biopsy. This was to be repeated 7 years after the initial one to evaluate one for progression of disease to determine whether or not the patient had cirrhosis. The rationale behind this is that this patient had low platelets, and liver disease patients with thrombocytopenia are those one needs to consider as having the possibility of portal hypertension and cirrhosis. And as patients are treated with boceprevir, the treatment course depends upon whether or not they have cirrhosis or not. So what is then the dosing in patients who are treatment experienced with the use of boceprevir? In those patients who are previous partial responders or relapsers to pegylated interferon and ribavirin who do not have cirrhosis, these patients are treated with a lead-in phase of pegylated interferon and ribavirin for 4 weeks, and then boceprevir 800 milligrams a day three times a day are added, with the patient taking that every 7 to 9 hours with food and followed by response-guided therapy. Response-guided therapy means that as you're following the patient on treatment, if at week 8 the virus is undetectable, and then at week 24 the virus is undetectable, the patient is treated for a total of 36 weeks with a combination of bruceprevir, pegylated interferon, and ribavirin. If the patient at week 8 has detectable virus, then the patient is followed. If the virus is negative at 24 weeks, the patient will then continue all three medications for a total of 36 weeks. At that point, the bruceprevir is stopped, and the patient has a tail of 12 weeks of pegylated interferon and ribavirin to complete a total course of 48 weeks of therapy. If the patient, however, is a previous partial responder or relapser who has compensated cirrhosis or had previously been treated and was a null responder, this patient then would be treated with a 4-week lead-in phase of pegylated interferon and ribavirin, followed by 44 weeks of bruceprevir, 800 milligrams three times a day in combination with pegylated interferon and ribavirin, making the total course of therapy 48 weeks. The liver biopsy performed then in our patient showed him to have grade 3, stage 4 disease. So he has compensated cirrhosis. The patient was started on treatment and completed 4 weeks of pegylated interferon and ribavirin with a more than 2-log drop in his viral load. Now, well into therapy with combinations bosepivir, pegylated interferon, and ribavirin, the patient is HCV RNA negative and is tolerating the medication well. Thank you very much for participating in this activity. To proceed to the online CME test, click on the Earn CME Credit link on this page.
Thank you for listening to this excerpt of the CME activity, Challenging Cases from the Clinic, the Treatment Experienced Patient. To participate in the CME activity, please go to medscape.org/features/audio and select the title.